Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. In orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny.
Mention It All. A Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With Dylan Hafer.
Hold on, check me, bro.
And Barry Rosenfeld.
I need to start drinking alcohol. Now go to sleep, we.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I am Dylan Hafer. And once again, I am joined by Sammy Sage and Jordana Abraham because it's a Thursday and we're going to talk about Beverly Hills.
We are so thrilled to be here. What did you think of last night?
Oh, it was a busy night on Bravo. You know, they're really working us to the bone with these like double Sundays, double Wednesdays. I'd like to speak to the schedulers because I feel stressed out, but it was a great night of television.
Right, agreed.
And you were at the premiere party, right?
I was at the premiere party, yes, to celebrate Winter House, which what so much to celebrate.
Yeah, I mean, I had an issue where, like, I assumed it was, like, almost like a season one, like, 5.5 of Summer House.
Right.
So I assumed my DVR was going to pick it up. But I guess it's, like, an entirely new show.
Yeah, I think they're trying to, you know, make some. They've never really done this before where it's, like, actually a crossover that's its own thing. But I think it works. I think people are excited for it. I mean, like, in the last couple of years, I feel like Summer House has become like so much more legit as a Bravo show. And so I think people are into it. I was sad. Austin and Craig weren't there last night. And I'm like, could you not get a flight from Charleston? Like, what's going
on? That's weird.
Yeah, that's right? Upsetting because I would have loved to hear your like take on the IRL Paige Craig dynamic.
I know. I did. So in the episode when Craig is talking about how he's like with Natalie, I like saw Paige in the corner, like she's like texting with a smile on her face, and I'm like, oh, she's definitely texting Craig, like, LOL at you talking about your girlfriend right now.
Right. Yeah. That. I mean, I thought that they were like a thing going into the show, but then when he was talking about his girlfriend, I was a little confused.
Right. And like, I don't know if you guys like are like watch all of Southern Charm, but like last season it was very like, I'm with Natalie, like I'm settling down, like I think she might, you know, they seemed like they were getting serious. And so it was weird to hear him say like, well, we either get married or we break up. And it's like, you could just like stay together.
Right,
like
you're not on deadline.
Right. I read an article that said that Paige and Craig were totally platonic the whole Winter House thing.
Yeah, so
we're
not it gonna seems see them up. They don't. I mean, Paige is making out in the hot tub with Andrea. So
right. Right. An interesting transition.
I was confused by that. I was like, wait, when does the relationship happen? Wait, Dylan, I have a question. Okay. What were Amanda and Kyle like in like their post-wedded bliss? What was that?
They seemed great. So I saw them on Tuesday night. I went to the release party for Dave Quinn's book, which I know you're reading right now.
I am.
And so I was talking to them. Amanda had definitely had some lover boys, but they both seemed great. Yeah, I was like chatting with her. She did not make it to the Winter House premiere party.
How could she not make it to like that?
It seems like a lot of people were missing.
Didn't make it.
Yeah, Sierra was the other one who wasn't there. So it was like,
That's half the cast.
I know. It was interesting because it was like the new people were all there and they were kind of doing their own thing. And then
Kyle and Lindsay, and then Carl and Danielle were there too, because they're supportive besties. You know, we love to see it. Right. And so, like, they were kind of like a foursome, you know, the, like, summer house crew. Mm-hmm. And then I felt, I kind of felt bad for Paige because Sierra and Amanda weren't there, and then Craig wasn't there. So it's like, it felt like there was, like, one cohort missing.
I'm just confused, like, why all these people didn't go to the premiere party of their own show.
I know, like, but I met Andrea. I met Andrea, okay. And he's just as handsome in person. So
he gives me such vibes of, like, sing to me, Paolo. Like, that's who he is to me.
Somebody said that he reminded them of Cedric, Lisa Vanderpump's, yes, like, house guest.
Oh, something with the accent. That. Yeah. Like, there's something. The accent felt so familiar to me. And you're right. That is who it was.
We'll see. Yeah, it's like, it's interesting having the new people who are just, like, complete randos to us, because, like, everybody else is so familiar, and it's like, oh, like, Paige's friend Julia just, like, invited three random friends who, like, happen to be models, and it's weird, like, on a show where it's, like, so established that it's like, oh, Summer House, Southern Charm, and then it's like, okay, like, are these people gonna be, like, around? Like, do we like them? Do we care? I don't know. We'll see.
Right. So what is the dynamic?
Gabby's, you know, choosing the best room for herself. I was like, girl, we can't be doing that.
If you were a new person, let's say you were joining the Winter House, right? And you weren't on Summer House or Southern Charm. What would your approach to, like, your room be? What do you think is the ideal approach?
I feel like I would know my place. Like, I would be so, because I feel like I would be overthinking, like, okay, like, I don't want to, you know, like, I want everyone to think I'm, like, fun and, like, agreeable, and, like, obviously we can have drama, like, later, but, like, I would be very concerned about, like, pissing people off on day one. I think, right, I would be, like, very deferential.
Right. I would also know that, like, I did not arrange the house. Like, I thought Kyle was right that because he arranged the house, he should get
did
the
he arrange
room.
The house? Did production arrange
he
the
said,
house?
Well, he said, I mean, they're claiming in this house that he arranged the house. So, like,
it's the very fourth Wallian way of being like, well, we're on this girl's trip for Dorit's birthday. So right, it's Dorit's trip.
But in that, but when you're going to play that game, like, the person who planned the house gets the first pick on the room.
Also, and, like, they're the only couple, you know, right. It is a couple. Right. So, like, maybe they
we
get
need
the
a bathroom. And what was the other thing? A closet.
Like, where is Kyle going to poop? Like, that's a valid question.
I agree with you, Dylan. You got to know your place if you're coming in. Like, maybe I wouldn't be, like, so deferential that I would, like, let the other newbies get ahead of me. But I would definitely let everyone who was, like, a previous cast member get ahead of me.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of like a little mini hazing situation.
Right. I would allow myself to be hazed, or I would try to buddy up with someone who is a previous cast member and, like, get in on their room pick. If that were natural, if that were, like, a natural possibility.
Well, yeah. It's kind of like if you were invited on, like, a bachelor or bachelorette party and you didn't really know. Let's say you're, like, the bride's cousin who doesn't know anyone.
Yeah.
You're not, like, walking into the house and, like, picking the best room and being like, well, I don't know anyone and like, I didn't have anything to do with planning this, and I'm just gonna, like, take the best room.
Right. It's always the bride and the planner who got the best rooms.
To, like, Gabby and Jason and Andrea's credit, it is a little awkward that Julia, who's the, like, connecting link, missed her flight and is a day late. So they're kind of walking to the house like, hey, like, I was told to show up at this time and I'm still here, even though our, like, mutual friend is not. So let's just, I guess, get drunk tonight.
Right. It does seem like it's going to be fun. Last night felt like a lot of setup, but.
And Lindsay's not even there yet.
Right. I think it's going to be a pretty good season, but they definitely need that awkward, like, we're integrating the casts and the newbies and we're, like, entering the house. So yeah. It wasn't, like, I don't think it was the most exciting episode of the season. But
yeah, I thought it was. Yeah. I thought it was fun. I think the concept works, and then we'll see. We'll see kind of whether the show itself is, like, excellent or just kind of, like, a fun thing to watch. Right.
Or will it be the Bachelor Winter Games of Bravo? I hope not.
Calling all my honeys. Support for today's episode comes from Honeylove. Whether you're a bride, a wedding guest, or simply seeking everyday smoothing, Honeylove is the go-to for all things shapewear. Honeylove has revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. For a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/MIA. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/MIA. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling Superpower Short is the go-to. It has targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. Their Signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. It's designed to work with your body, not against it. The Superpower Short is helping ladies everywhere sculpt and smooth from stomach to thigh by offering just the perfect amount of compression. You won't have to worry about it rolling down, which is unheard of in shapewear, thanks to flexible boning that's hidden in the side seams. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom an amazing shape. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/MIA. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/MIA. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Shape your life with Honeylove.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Okay, let's get into Beverly Hills. I don't want to waste any more time.
Oh, no.
So the first, maybe the first half, I don't know, I wasn't timing it, of this episode is a lot of Erica and Tom, which we were promised by Andy last week, and I feel like they delivered, because there were a lot of, this whole Erica situation, there are so many different like layers and like elements to it. And I think once all the like legal stuff started coming out, the divorce element sort of like faded into the background. And I liked that they carved out time in the reunion to really like go back and pick apart some of the stuff that Erica said about her divorce, because it was like, that was the first big shocking thing that happened in the season. And I think it, you know, I had a lot of questions and I felt like some of them were answered.
I think he did a really good job, like pushing her beyond like her like surface answers to like really get at the question, really get her to like fully answer the question, not just give like a PR-y answer. So I thought he was very, very good at like doubling down on the questions to make sure she answered them.
Yeah, the money stuff especially, because very quickly, you know, we get to the point where she's like, well, where was I going to go? And Andy's like, I know what you make on this show. And she says that she gave every paycheck to Tom. So.
Right. I thought she did like really well from like a non-discerning standpoint. Like if you're just sort of the average viewer and you don't really have a lot of the details and maybe you don't remember, you know, you haven't like combed through previous seasons for inconsistencies, you probably think she did really well. I feel like she was media trained. She felt very prepared. It almost felt like she knew what the questions were going to be. But that just, you know, seems like it was good preparation. But like, honestly, like the story would make more sense if she would just go all in on like, I was trapped. I would never do this again. I was captive. I had no access to money. And if she could explain like how she suddenly, when all this litigation was about to come out, got the ability to leave him. Like, where did that money come from? Like, and something else that I do sort of wish we could see more, like, they kept cutting to Sutton looking, like, really pouty and, like, wishing she could just be like, that's bullshit. So I would love to have been able to hear what, like, Sutton thought. And I also want to know why, like, Rinna and Kyle and all of them were just, like, obsessed with, like, helping her.
Yeah.
Well, I thought she made some good points, like, to give that to her. Like, she made some good points, but they were like, well, no one, you know, you always pretended you had a good marriage, blah, blah, blah. And then she was like, marriages are, like, long and complex, and sometimes they are good, and sometimes they're not good. And, like, you know, it's not like, it's, like, binary where it's, like, my marriage is good or my marriage is bad. Like, sometimes you have a good year, a few months, and then things turn around. So I thought that was solid. But I wish, what I really wish she would have done is taken some ownership over something. Like, that's really what was missing. Just like her, she wasn't like, yeah, like, obviously a big part of the reason I was with Tom was because of the money.
Right. Or like, right. Like, totally.
Just admit it. It would make her feel better.
Or if she could have been like, yeah, like, I lied those years about it being good. Or,
yeah.
Or and like explaining like why you were suddenly ready to leave him right before.
Right. In a real, some sort of real way that gives a little bit that it, that takes a little bit of ownership over something.
Yeah, I think the timing of her leaving is sort of like the missing puzzle piece to me, because I don't have any trouble believing that she gave all the paychecks to Tom. And I don't have any trouble believing that, like, she didn't have, like, free access to all of whatever money she had made, and that the firm was kind of, like, you know, controlling the whatever. And so I understand when she says, I didn't necessarily stay because of Tom's money. I stayed because I didn't have access to the money that I had made. Like, that, I don't know if it's, like, 100% true, but it at least makes sense to me. But she doesn't really have a good answer for, Why did you know that it was time to leave last year when all this shit was about to come out? And also, then the added piece of his, you know, dementia, memory issues, and she's saying, you know, like, it's incorrect to say that he started losing, you know, he had Alzheimer's and that's why I left, but it was part of it. And it's like, the timing still is, you know, it feels like she left at a very specific moment, and I don't think she really, like, you know, it could be a coincidence, I don't know, like, lightning can strike wherever, but, like, I don't feel like she really has an answer that wouldn't incriminate her to why she left then.
Well, she also, in her book, she said, like, this is our money, my name's on the tax return. Like, what, like, I just think there are some, I do think that makes sense, that some women do not know what is, like, going on with the money.
Sutton's but baseball team.
Knew, right, right. Like, she knew that there were lawsuits. She had signed things about them. She tries to play a little too stupid while she,
right,
the whole time she wanted to be seen as really smart. And it's like, okay, so you're giving your $600,000 Bravo paycheck and your to your husband, and he's putting $20 million into your account, and there's not real revenue coming in. Like, where, and you know that there are lawsuits that allege that his money is illegitimate. So, like, maybe she probably can't say this legally, but even if she had been like, honestly, the lawsuits against him really made me see that he was doing funny things financially and that I should try to get out as soon as possible.
Right.
Like, even or if he's
always
that,
been, a, he's always been a little, you know, well, she almost like, it's like she should have played more into the like, none of the doctors would see him because they were afraid he would sue them. Like, play more into like, yes, Tom has always been like really like
shady.
And some of his stuff has been kind of shady. And so this to me was like, I had a feeling. She could have said, like, I had a feeling something was, like, there's just, she just really can't play both sides. Well, she kept, both sides, because she kept saying, like, because Andy was like, oh, is it because there was no more money? That's why you left. And she's like, no, I have the debts. It's like, but when did you find out? That's really, like you said, what she wasn't answering. It's like, when did you know that you were going to be taking his debts?
And then, right.
She knew at least a year before, because she had signed something that said that his creditors will be paid before she is paid. Like in terms of marital assets, like if there's something like that, she signed something that said that. So she knew that for before the pandemic. Like that was, yeah.
And certainly she knew when she filed for divorce that she wasn't going to be getting half of some, you know, $50 million fortune. Like she knew that that was not the situation.
The only thing that can explain that to me is if there is offshore money that she is somehow like sticking with him to try to get access to, even if it's only like $10 million, she wants to be able to get that. That's the only explanation for me that's like why she wouldn't just throw him under the bus. If he really did treat her so terribly, why wouldn't you just throw him and he cheated on you? Like everyone would understand if you threw him under the bus, but it's because you're trying to play like both sides. It just doesn't, it does. And she's so like contrarian and like, just like bad on social media. Right. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
What she should have said is, like, I never left Tom because, or I don't know if she can legally say this, but what's probably true, Tom and I have a prenup where I don't really get anything.
No, they have no prenup.
They have no prenup?
Yeah.
Why would Tom, a lawyer who's on his like third wife,
maybe because he knew that he didn't really have any money. Maybe
that to me doesn't make any sense that he wouldn't have a prenup.
Maybe the whole time he was just spending everything that came in and like he, I don't know. Like,
I mean, that's how a Ponzi scheme works. That's how a Ponzi scheme works, you know?
Doesn't it seem crazy to you that a lawyer who's like,
well, like, not if the lawyer
who's marrying, who's on his third wife, who's marrying one woman 20 something years younger than him, wouldn't have a that's like the weirdest thing of that I've heard this entire season.
He has been illegitimate his whole career. He's been pulling the shit his whole career. So it's like, why wouldn't he have a prenup? Maybe because he knows he wants to stick his wife with his. Maybe he knows he doesn't have any assets to split.
Like. Well, so the part last night that really, like, rubbed me the wrong way, like, I was sort of, you know, I was taking in what Erica was saying. I was, you know, maybe buying some of it, buying other parts of it less. But then when Andy asked sort of how all the accusations against Tom were affecting her feelings toward him, and Erica's like, well, you know, like, I sincerely hope that it's not all true. And Andy's like, do you really think there's a chance this stuff isn't true? And Erica's like, I think there's a chance. We don't know. We have to get to the bottom of it. And it's like, first of all, we don't have to get to the bottom of anything. You're not like investigating this yourself. But also it's like, she makes her, like, she's saying all this stuff about Tom. He took her money, like all this stuff. And she's, you know, now she's responsible for his debts. But she still won't, like you were saying, she won't throw him under the bus and say, yeah, it's really fucked up what he probably did. And, you know, say something about the victims and all of this. It's like people are calling her out for using the word allegedly. And it's like, because she still hasn't fully accepted that this is true.
Right. It doesn't make sense. Like, why are you hedging your bets like that? Like, what's
she
the
just
point?
Keeps saying, like,
because she thinks maybe if they can't prove it, she won't have to be on the hook for any money. Like, and that's probably her
calculation. Well, also, I can understand where, unless she was, like, ready to fully, like, she was married to this person for 20 years. So anything she says about him on this show will be used against him. If she says he probably did it, they're going to use that in court. They're going to use whatever she says. So I can understand why she might, unless she's fully turning on him, she really can't say, and I think he did something bad.
Which again is like, why isn't she fully turning on him?
Right. She's
no
not
money.
Like, she's like, not like, she's not like in the car with him, but she also isn't like fully detaching. She's like, she, her wagon is still hitched to him, you know, she's not,
he's only,
I think can only be explained by the possibility of getting some offshore money. And like,
she's only turning on him
$10 million in a Cayman's account. Like,
our Watch What Happens Live drinking game word today is offshore money.
No, like, why would he not put $10 million in an offshore account just in case? Like, and why would she continue to hitch her wagon to him if all the money is truly gone?
Right. Well, she's only turning on him. She's ready. She's extremely happy to turn on him in any sort of like personal way. Like, yeah, he's been cheating. Yeah, he's an asshole. He was like kind of like not supportive and didn't hug me and was verbally abusive. But like that, she's fully able to like throw him under the bus, but not this, which is interesting.
Can we talk about the ankle and the coma and the surgery? Like, that still makes no sense to me.
I
saw someone on Reddit suggest that she knew that if he died, she would then be on the hook for his debts. So that's why she didn't want to, like, let them put him under.
Interesting theory. I feel like the whole car accident story, like, obviously, a lot has been made of the fact that it sounds unbelievable or there, you know, the details don't always match up the way she tells it. But I just feel like with this story, it's like, I almost don't care to hear her talk anymore about it, because I don't feel like the more she talks about it, I'm not getting any more clarity on what actually happened. And I don't feel like she's ever going to tell a version of the story that I feel 100% like, okay, yeah, like now we know what happened. So it almost feels like a moot point to
distraction from like the real issue.
Right. And I think with some of the Erica stuff, and I think this is one of those topics, the other women aren't really going to have anything to say about it. Like, a lot of this Erica stuff feels very one-on-one between Erica and Andy. And like, while I think that is like important to get through, I almost want to get to some like juicier stuff that like the other women can weigh in on. Like, Sutton barely said a word on last night's episode. And like, I'd like there to be a little more back and forth, I guess.
And also, like, how come Andy can ask her all these questions, but Sutton can't? She's not threatening to sue Andy on the show.
So Andy, you better watch your mouth.
Yeah, like seriously. I mean, like there is obviously like one is a clear interview almost.
Yeah. And
one
is a friend, also, but like Erica didn't do one single piece of press this entire season. Like she was fully benched during the season, and so the reunion like literally is the only time that she's had any kind of platform, been asked any questions outside of the filming context. And so like it almost feels like it's like, this is the interview that you're going to do. And it's going to be Andy on the reunion couch, which is weird, but.
Right. I mean, if I were her and I were her publicist, I would tell her to stop saying, I have to look out for me.
Yeah.
I just feel like she kept repeating that. Like the victims like, totally feel bad if that's what happened, but I need to look out for me. But I need to look out for... It's like, just don't say that. Like, we get... It's sort of implied. Just don't do it.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
You know, one part that I did kind of like believe and felt rang true to me was her when she said that Tom was on a loop. Like,
oh, yeah.
I thought that actually, like, I do believe that Tom deteriorated, but I think she's using his deterioration in a way that it doesn't actually justify what he did. Like, I think he was doing those things and he also happened to start to deteriorate.
Right. Like, I'm on board with the dementia, Alzheimer's, whatever. Like, that stuff makes sense to me. Like, I've had family members who have gone through that, and so I've seen that process. And, like, the whole, like, telling a story from 20 years ago and, like, knowing that story doesn't mean that you're, like, 100% with it. Like, and I think the way she kind of explained that last night it rings true of, like, having a loved one with dementia. And so, like, but I think you're right that it's, like, I don't feel like that is, I feel like that's a totally separate issue than, like, any of his career dealings.
Well, I think it probably plays into it in a sense, right? Because let's say you're Erica, you know your husband's been doing some kind of shady things, but, like, he seems to have been getting away with it for quite a while. All of a sudden, he's starting to get a little sloppy about it, probably because he is mentally getting a little bit, like, less capacitated, right? And then she's probably realizing, like, okay, he's not doing this as well as he used to because he doesn't have, like, he's not fully functioning. He's gonna be going down because people are starting to realize this, and like, who's next to him? It's like me. And who's gonna have to deal with all of it? It's me. And maybe that's when she decided to leave. It's like,
right,
because it's, she's like, gonna have to almost do more, she's gonna have to deal with it more then right. because he's like has dementia.
Right, but she can't say that because then it's like, oh, actually, I kind of knew the whole time, but I didn't do anything because it didn't seem like it was going to fall on me. But it's like, okay, you have like his crimes and then you have her putting like all these like clouds in front of it. Like, ooh, the dementia, the car accident, like the, you know, the affairs. Like she puts, it's like, okay, all those things can be true, but you still have the crimes and everything else you're saying is just obfuscating that.
This just occurred to me with what you were saying, Jordana. If she hadn't filed for divorce, do you think there was a chance that they would have made her his conservator?
Probably.
Yeah. And right? I bet she did not want that responsibility. Like, she did not want to be the one who was, like, put in charge of handling whatever. Like, she's obviously, she still is like liable for stuff. She's named in lawsuits. She's on the hook, but like, she doesn't have to like go to all these court dates and like speak on behalf of Tom. And like, I bet that was something that she really didn't want to be like around for.
She could have said she didn't want to be it. They could have made it just like an attorney could have been his conservator. Like, I don't think she would have been like, okay, she had to do it.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, no, like, just, it might have looked weird if she wasn't.
No, no, no. You can, it is very common to just, if someone has dementia, that the spouse does not want to be the conservator. I don't think that's, like, that fishy. Like, a lawyer would be better at it because they can, like, navigate.
That's true.
You know? I actually don't think, I mean, she could have been, but I don't think she would have been.
Okay, I want to move on a little bit. I want to ask what you thought about Dorit saying that she has taken a lot of shit for a long time because she is an easy target. Because I thought that was...
An easy target?
Kind of an easy target.
I feel like Dorit is an easy target because she makes herself an easy target. Like, she...
Yeah.
She speaks a lot. She says a lot of things that I think are easy to, like, bring up and be like... Right. And I think she... It's like, if you put yourself in the position of being an easy target, then yeah, you might get shit coming back at you. And I feel like she was trying to like play the victim a little bit. And it's like, Dorit
shoots from the hip. And that's why like sometimes you can agree with her and like 50% of the time you can agree with her and 50% of the time it's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, and I think that that's good for a reality show. But like now she's trying to like turn it into a story of like everyone picks on me and it's like no.
It's like you say dumb shit and people are gonna respond to it. That's not the same as people like antagonizing you for no reason.
Correct. Like Garcelle, I think people kind of antagonized her for no reason. No one really does that to
her. What did you think? There was a rumor, or I can't remember like where it originated, that Dorit is like on the chopping block for season 12.
I heard that. And I wish it wasn't Dorit. I wish it was Rinna.
I think they'll keep her around.
I think Dorit is good for the show in the sense that whether you like her or not, she can kind of, she'll play with anyone. And I think she's less, you know, Rinna is somebody who takes such a strong stance and then it just like, I feel like it can develop crumbles in a way that's like not enjoyable to watch, not entertaining, whatever, like, yeah, like it's happened a couple times. Whereas Dorit, I feel like she maybe is less like strong in her convictions, but that almost helps because then it's like, oh, like you can still like go to lunch with anyone. You're not getting in these like massive rifts that then you can't be in the same room with someone.
Do you think it also came down to like, oh, we'd rather have Harry Hamlin than PK?
Oh, God. Do they have Harry Hamlin?
Not. Harry Hamlin's not that interesting.
I agree. I actually think PK is more interesting. He at least like says like
a nice,
shit.
He seems like a nice, normal guy. Why is that good TV?
No, like I don't care about your sauce. Like I'll buy it in a store. I don't need to watch it on TV.
Harry like begrudgingly does one episode a season. PK like shows up to film.
PK will start drama.
PK is arguably more funny and interesting than Dorit, which I guess people have said. Do you think Dorit had a nose job?
I
maybe she had like a filler nose job.
I was just gonna say I could see her dying on the hill of I haven't had a nose job, but she did the like non-surgical,
right?
You know,
I think she probably did. Like, why wouldn't she? She has. She other
would just
fillers,
say that like, then. Everyone would just like forget
she
it.
And no, she probably is like, that's not the same as like. She looks the same as a rhinoplasty.
Honestly, she looks great. I don't give a shit. Like,
I don't care either. It's just like funny yeah, that like
it is.
She, yeah, if she had it, I don't. I just think she should say it.
I've had filler put in my nose, but that's not the same. Like, they did not break the bone.
She's like, Auntie, when you go to the doctor and you say I want a nose job, that means you're going under anesthesia. They're going to be breaking the bone. Skin is broken. Auntie, I never did. It was a needle.
Yeah. A 3-week recovery.
She's like, I never had to wear the bandage.
She does look great. So yeah. Whatever she's doing.
And she made a birthday video for Harry Styles, which was out of nowhere. First of all, Harry Styles watches Housewives. Okay, random. But
very random.
The clip of Dorit being like, Harry, I found out you were watching our show in quarantine, and I love to hear it. What is happening?
Right. That was so
what
weird.
What about how Kyle was clearly, like, still upset that Drake didn't follow her? She was, like, she definitely felt, like, a little bitter about it.
I want to know, I want to know what Florence Pugh was saying in Rinna's DMs.
Ooh, same.
But Florence Pugh just did a movie with Harry Styles, so maybe they were, like, chatting Beverly Hills on set.
Interesting. Or maybe Rinna was trying to get Florence Pugh to set up Harry Styles with Amelia.
That could be too, but Olivia Wilde was the director of that movie.
True.
So that could have been awkward.
I think Kathy Hilton, I'm a little annoyed that they won't get into the Hilton mom like thing. They will not touch that.
The more they don't touch it, the more curious people become and the more shocked they will be when they read about her.
I almost feel like with Kathy, like, she's obviously in a different position than anyone else in this cast because she's not full-time. She's not, like, angling to get a diamond or anything. So I feel like she probably has more strict boundaries of, like, what she will and won't discuss. And I think probably the producers and the editors and the network and everyone, they've seen how much everybody has enjoyed Kathy this season. And so I feel like they probably would rather tiptoe around upsetting her and like bring her back next season than like push her to a place she doesn't want to go. And then she's like, fuck this. I don't need to do this.
Yeah. I mean, Kathy, their mother was a horrible person. Like, like really.
And she's sitting there crying hysterically on the show about her.
I think
it's like when you've read about her, it seems very weird.
I actually think that there's like a bit of a Stockholm syndrome between like these three women and their mother. And Kyle's the only one who's like even remotely like been willing to like in any way explore like their mother and how she behaved. Like not even like in a real way.
And she's but really Kathy doing it in an idealized way too.
They're all doing it in an idealized way, but I think Kathy is like on another level, meaning like she wouldn't even talk about how she like couldn't cook. And like, Kyle was like, "Yeah, like she couldn't cook." Like, but that doesn't even go to like the real essence and the fact of that Kathy Avanzino.
When Kathy said that she still had never actually watched American Woman, like that was telling to me because that
I don't
caused,
watch TV.
I don't really watch a lot of TV. She watched the trailer, but like that was such a big source of strife between the sisters, and so it's like. You know, even if they disagreed about what was offensive or what was crossing the line, it's like Kathy doesn't even technically really know what she's talking about when it comes to the show itself. And so I think I have to imagine that, you know, even if Kyle has decided to put it aside, she must still be frustrated by that it's like Kathy is still like saying how this show was disrespectful, but she never actually watched it.
Well, Kathy the more they probably talk about knows, it, the more people are curious.
Kathy probably knows it's like a slippery slope. Like once you open one thing, like it could become like a publicly like acknowledged thing about just how crazy their mom was, or just how like
she's right about that. She is totally right about that. That it,
I
get why
she's like
slope.
If you're starting a TV show, you're opening the door to people like.
Right.
Digging.
Right. Like, even if your TV show is like a loving tribute, you know, with some, you know, maybe unflattering moments peppered in there, if people are like, Googling, like, what was Big Kathy right. actually like? You know, like, there might be some yeah. some info there. But also with, you know, obviously Kathy is in a position of power on the show, but in her relationship with Kyle, you know, Kyle's never going to, like, really push back because she doesn't want to damage what she's been able to rebuild with Kathy. And I think, you know, Kathy is the alpha in that relationship because Kyle...
Of the sisters, yeah.
Yeah, because Kyle, you know, she doesn't... She likes being on good terms with Kathy because that makes her look good.
Kathy's the alpha of the relationship because she most successfully lived out her mother's command, which was to get married to someone extremely wealthy and have a lot of children with them.
You know, Kyle didn't do too bad on that either.
No, Kyle did great. Like, honestly, I think Kyle's probably, like, upset that Big Kathy didn't get to see, like, Mauricio at his most wealthy.
I think, but yeah, but I mean, Kathy has, like, almost the more public recognition of, like, the Hilton brand, which is obviously a little stronger than, yeah, like,
totally. And Nikki Paris married Hilton. A Rothschild.
Right. And so, Paris Hilton is, like, obviously, like, the most famous of all of the people that we're talking about.
I highly recommend anyone who's really interested in, like, the deets about Big Kathy, read House of Hilton. Like, there are
I need to get into that.
I read a summary last night. It was very shocking.
It's incredibly fucked up. Like, I understand why Kathy doesn't want, like, her mother to go mentioned at all, because there was a really bad anecdotes
like
about
thing
her out
about,
there.
Like, about her mom, like, pimping out young girls to, like, rich
There's
men.
Also a whole thing about her mom pimping out Kathy. Well, not, yeah, okay.
Kathy and other, yeah, she was, like, yeah, almost, like, a fucked up matchmaker, but, like, in a more, like, sexual way.
Allegedly.
Madam Matchmaker.
Basically, yeah, for, like, young girls and, like, rich men.
That one, I think, in the book was, like, a little bit less certain. Like, the specifics were less...
Allegedly.
The specifics were less concrete on that. But, like, she fed her mother-in-law... Oh, no. She fed her daughter, her stepdaughter, a cheeseburger with a screw inside it. Because she had very nice teeth, and she wanted to fuck them up.
Maybe that's why Kathy is so interested in dental work.
Yeah.
Which we're going to talk about on part three. Yeah. In the preview, and they're like, who would let Kathy Hilton cut their hair? I'm like, what are we doing here? How is this what we're talking about? But I'm excited to see Erica. I feel like next episode, the Erica stuff we're getting into is going to get a little more, like, intense.
We need to be more combative, I think, with the other housewives.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what I'm really excited for.
I do want them to get into her fight with Sutton. Because, like, regardless of what happened with Tom, the fight with Sutton was, like, its own piece.
I'm sure it'll have a whole section.
Right. And, like, we see Andy kind of pressing her about, like, what is this, like, threat? Like, what are you saying is going to happen? I need to know, like, when she says it's not a threat, it's a promise. It's like, okay, but, like, what are you promising to do? Please explain.
Please elaborate.
You can almost see what she learned from Tom in the way she, like, responded to these accusations. Like, you can kind of see how he was able to keep, like, the accusers at bay for so many years because he clearly, like, used these like bulldozing tactics.
Yeah. And, you know, clearly doctors were worried that he was going to sue them, which is, like, such a strange, like,
it's telling.
Yeah, it is. People were scared of him. I mean, like, it's a whole thing. And, like, Erica, whether or not it's real in actuality, she still is tied to the thing of Tom Girardi. And yeah,
pretty crazy.
Know, allegedly.
It's pretty crazy. It's been a good season.
It has been a great season.
We deserve this.
Still got two episodes
two
left.
More parts. Two more parts. But thank you guys. I'm so glad you were able to join me today. Hopefully everyone enjoyed this episode. If you did, make sure to leave a 5-star review. And subscribe, follow, whatever, so you don't miss any of our episodes. You can follow us on Instagram at Bravo by Betches. And
just be cool.
Don't be all, like, uncool.
Mention It All is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Dylan Hafer. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at Bravo by Betches on Instagram and Twitter. Betches.